The good news of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there's a stench because he's been there dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The Gospel of Christ. God will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples and the sheet that is spread over all nations. God will swallow up death forever. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Saints of God, there might be a little need to give you some background before this story in today's Gospel of John. Jesus had been in Jerusalem, and at one point he goes across the lake to get some solace, some comfort, and some isolation from the crowds pressing in on him. But he returns to Jerusalem. News had come to him that Lazarus, the only one, by the way, in Scripture where it says this is the one Jesus loved. Lazarus is this guy. He was sick in Bethany. They must have had urgency for the sisters to send messengers, maybe even more to this sickness than Jesus was told. There are many things that are familiar in this passage. Maybe because you've been to an Episcopal funeral, this gospel reading is read almost every Episcopal funeral in the church. But what I invite you to is to listen for those places and to remember those places in this story where people are telling Jesus or telling us, the listeners, that we see things one way, but Jesus is seeing them in a very different way. Martha and Mary send emissaries to Jesus because they see things as really serious for Lazarus. The followers claim that if Lazarus is really asleep, well, he'll be okay. Don't worry about it. In the face of Lazarus's plight, both Martha and Mary can summon only fear and despair. Martha believes that there's nothing left in the tomb but death, decay, and stench. The women also believe that stones, once put in place, extinguish all hope. But Jesus sees these things very differently. In the face of hopelessness, Jesus offers a larger view. Confronted by grief and disappointment, Jesus brings relationship. Provoked by grief, he injects vision. When others are overcome with fear, Jesus says, "I am." This is the I am of Yahweh, the God of the living, the God of the eternal. "I am resurrection," Jesus says, "here, now, available to all who abide in me and in God." Jesus is not telling the women that are mourning at the tomb of their brother that someday, if you just believe, Lazarus will rise. No, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection, here, now, present, available." This is the Jesus who comes to our tombs, rolls away the stones, calls us out of our stupor, and announces resurrection. Last weekend, Bishop Betsy at our convention gave a beautiful contrasting story, a metaphor about the Diocese of Iowa. She compared the Diocese of Iowa both to a beautiful cornfield and to prairie land. And she said, as a cornfield, it's orderly and beautiful, predictable, and very needy of water. And it's harvested, and it's well planned. And then it needs to be reseeded again the next year. A prairie, she says, is also a beautiful field that is left to be on its own, that establishes an ecosystem where plants and animals interact so closely with each other that they become deep in relationship, even dependent one upon the other. And it is self-sustaining, sustainable, forever. When seen through the eyes of resurrection, the Episcopal Church in Iowa is not dead or dying or past its harvest. It is being transfigured at this moment by grace. Yes, we have lost some of the buildings, some of those places where our feet were planted. And we said, this is where the word of God shall be heard and worshiped and celebrated. But the work of feeding the hungry and welcoming the stranger is growing like wild grasses on the prairie. Sean Rowe, yesterday at his investiture, reminds us that resurrection is available to us here, now, today, and tomorrow. And that though we might think Jesus just a little too inconvenient and find life fearful and hopeless, Our strength is in our baptismal call to be unbound from the self, freed from the attachment to the things of this world and from the way we think this world ought to function. With that kind of freedom, Bishop Shawn confesses, we can be the kind of stewards of God's creation that God needs us to be today. With a new stewardship, we will find the real power and the real resources to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to welcome the stranger, and to bring the good news of liberation to everyone who has been marginalized forever. At Trinity Cathedral, maybe you sit in anger over what has transpired over the last 18 months, or feel the grief over the last decades of the church. I invite you to hear Jesus say, "This will not end in death." Do you detect the imperfections and humanity of your priest, your leaders, and of each other? I invite you to hear Jesus, who says, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" Does the anxiety from the political polarization that permeates this country want to make you give up or give in? Hear Jesus call for us to move away the heavy stones of our past. Let the light shine in and get out and vote your heart. Are fewer parishioners with us here on a Sunday morning spelling out for you the last days of Trinity? I invite you to hear the voice of Jesus echoing in the tomb as he shouts to the world, "Come out and come in." Paraphrasing Presiding Bishop Sean Rowe from his sermon yesterday, when he called Lazarus out of the tomb, that work of Jesus was incomplete. Jesus called him out of the tomb, but there was more to be done. He said to those around Lazarus, "Unbind him." Jesus bid those who were there to let him go free. Release each other, Jesus commands, from the shroud that enslaves us to selfishness. Liberate each other from the pall of entitlement. Unshackle each other from the sackcloth that pits one against another, conservative against progressive, Republican against Democrat, from the arrogance of thinking I am always right and you always wrong. To trust in Jesus is to see resurrection alive, working in our lives today, not to be distracted by what appears to be death. To trust in resurrection is to see the way things are, yet to know deeply that they're not that way. Very different. Things are not as they seem based on what others tell us or on which news channel we watch. Things are as God tells us. See, the home of God is among mortals. God dwells with us. And we will be God's people, and God will be with us. And every tear will be wiped from our eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For all those things have passed away.